Over the past 2 weeks, I've forgotten to share with you that, you know, from time to time, we get feedback from our radio audience, and 98% to 99% of the time, these feedback are quite positive and encouraging. One letter we received about 2 weeks or so ago, it's from a preacher. They call themselves Church of Christ, but I am still wondering if they are part of us. I'm wondering if it is an outgrowth from our visit to Wonder Bowl last 18 years ago. But this church is not in Wonder Bowl. The gentleman, the preacher, I think he's also a justice of the peace in the area, he is not only asking that we send him material that he can use to teach and preach to his member. He's inviting us to come up one Sunday and to be with them. I consider that a wonderful opportunity. And it's just this morning I was thinking that last week, beginning of the week, I was mindful to read over the letter and make a phone call. And it was this morning I remember that I have not yet done so. So with God's help, I'm hoping that this week will not pass before I respond. What has the Bible claim for itself? This would have been about the fifth lesson on the Bible. And this lesson would have been about the third lesson on the indestructibility of the Bible. Because the Bible claims that it is, in fact, indestructible. Last week, we ended with Jeremiah chapter 36, and in that chapter we read of King Jehoiakim of Judah, who thought he could destroy God's word, God's truth, by burning it. He was mistaken. Throughout the centuries, throughout the ages, every conceivable effort has been made to destroy the Bible. One of the character that was brought up last week was the French atheist Voltaire, who predicted that within 100 years after his time, the Bible and Christianity would be out of existence. I pointed out then that while Voltaire died in 1778, the very printing press that was used to print is atheistic literature, was used after he died to print thousands upon thousands of copies of the Bible. The very house in which Voltaire lived was used to stock the Bible. Copies of the Bible have been burned in huge bonfires by men, church leaders, politicians, kings, who set out to destroy the Bible because they didn't like what it says. Edicts have been issued. What is an edict? It is a statement issued by a prince or a king or a bishop or a pope telling his populace what to do or what not to do. Well, edicts have been issued against circulating the Bible or against reading the Bible. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? From popes, from bishops, from kings, directive have gone out from these religious, political leaders. When they hear of somebody printing the Bible, they sent out these edicts that the Bible should not be circulated among the common people, because the common people do not have the capacity to understand the word. In fact, let me back up. There was a time when Roman Catholic bishop felt they were the only one capable of reading and understanding the Bible. So a lot of edicts came from Roman Catholicism in respect to not to circulate the Bible. That is, don't let the ordinary person have access to the Bible, and not to let the ordinary man or woman read the Bible. Critics have tried to pick flaws, mistakes in every page of the Bible. Yet, with all these critics in every passing years, more of the Bible is printed and circulated than the previous year. Printed in either its complete form are in part of it, in about the year 1976, over 1,200. The Bible, rather, has been printed in over 1,200 languages or dialects. That is over 1,200 languages and dialect the Bible has been printed in. English is just one of those languages. Of the 1,200 or over, and that was in about 1976. In fact, I share what one person says about the importance and the greatness of the Bible. He said, the Bible has shown the geologists how a ball of fire became a home for man. That phrase is dealing with how comes the earth. How a ball of fire became a home for man. The Bible has shown the astronomer how to explain the changes through which the planets, the stars, the sun, how they are now passing from one change to the other. The Bible exhibits to the scientists how the flowers, fruit, and forests, how all things that creep or walk or fly have come, how they have come to their present position through the age of change and gradual unfolding. The Bible explains these. Scientists do not explain where we come from. Scientists to this day do not explain how the earth comes about. Most of us have heard about evolution. And that is, the scientists claim that what has brought you and me about to this stage is that we evolve from a little something out there until we reach to a better stage. And what they are saying, it is all accident. But humanity is not accident. That's right. One Greek philosopher said the world is full of wonders, but nothing is as wonderful as man. We are not accident. The Almighty God created us in His image as intelligent, rational thinking people. And there is no explanation in respect to what and how we were brought here that can be compared to the Bible's explanation. It is rightly said that we can hardly speak of material things as eternal and indestructible. That's a fact. It matters not how many of us live and died and left, be it a building, a plant, or whatever here. That building one day going to decay. That plant one day going to die. Are we all there? It matters not how beautiful the car is and how expensive. Give it a few years and you can see that it is decaying. Are we all there? It matters not what the house is built of. We have heard about the Taj Mahal in India. Yet they will decay. One observer rightly said, the immovable rock, the everlasting hills are being disintegrated by the sun, the rain, and by other effect of nature. Wait, Brother Mitchell, are you talking about Warrika Hill? Warrika Hill or any hill? Red Hills, any hills? Though you and I do not see, is there a rock in your district, in the country, that you knew that rock to be what it is today from you were a boy? That rock is decaying. The sun is having its effect on that rock. The rain and other happening in nature, it's having its effect on that rock and the hills. Are we there? They are all perishing every moment. Everything physical. Look at the book of Psalms, 102 and verse 26. Let us hear it. Look at the book. I was going to ask for you to also look at Isaiah, but we'll come to that in another few moments. Psalms 102, verse 26. In fact, read from verse 25.
Of old hast thou laid the foundation.
Start again, brother. You are at the right passage. Of old hast thou laid the foundation.
Of the earth.
Of the earth.
And the heavens.
And the heavens.
Are the work of thy hands.
Are the works of thy hands.
They shall perish.
What, brother? The heavens also? Yes. Wait. The psalm this is acknowledging. That they are all built by God. The earth, the heavens. But what will happen to them?
They shall perish.
They shall perish. What does that mean? There is a time when not only the mountain, but the earth itself will not be. They shall perish.
But thou shalt endure.
But God and his word shall endure. Read on.
Yea. All of them shall wax old.
All of them. The word wax is French.
Old.
It means to grow.
Old.
All of them shall grow. Oh, wait. You think it's only animate living things, person like we are. The cow and the goat that grows old. No, the earth. God, through his inspired word, is telling us that the earth is aging. What happened there, brother? They shall grow
old.
Old.
Like a garment as a vesture.
Did you all hear that? Hold it, brother. It is telling us that nothing here is eternal. Except God and his word. Read on, brother, if there's anything else there in verse 26, I think.
Shall thou change them, and they shall be changed.
They shall be changed. They are all perishing. But amidst all the changes and disintegration that is going on around us, some of which we do not even see, even though it is taking place, Jesus Christ, truth, our word, remain fixed, changeless, relevant, and indestructible. With all the changes that are going on around us, human fashion, do not touch the changeless word of God with their finger. We hear of revolution. That is when one political leader is removed by violence, replaced by another one. Yes, revolution. Do not overthrow the changeless and indestructible word of God. Dispensation. What do you mean by dispensation? Less than 8 months ago, it was the Trump dispensation in the U.S. Now it is the Biden dispensation. That is the political change that takes place. With political change come different changes also. But I'm here to tell you, none of those change affect the Bible. They leave the Bible in its integrity and in its purity. Let us hear John chapter 8, verse 32. It's a passage we all know. You shall read, brother.
And ye shall know the truth.
You shall know the truth.
And the truth shall make you free.
When will the truth make you free? In the time of Jesus Christ? Yes, then. When will the truth make us free? In our time? Yes, now. When will the truth make us free? 1,000,000 years from now, if the earth lasts? Yes, forever. God's truth was relevant when Jesus Christ spoke. God's truth is relevant and applicable today. God's truth will remain unchanged and indestructible 1,000,000 years from now. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, Jesus Christ said. Read for me the passage of Luke, chapter 21, verse 33. Of course, if we had another reader, we would ask that the passage that was read this morning, Hebrews 1, 10 through 12. But let us hear Luke. Let us hear Luke.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Somebody didn't hear that.
Heaven and
earth. In effect, that's what we have just heard in the book of Psalms when the brother read it, you know. Psalms 102 and verse 25 through 26 that was read a few minutes ago. Heaven and earth. But Brother Mitchell, I am confused. Isn't heaven where God is? How will that be removed? Remember, you have the heaven, God's throne. You have the heaven where the moon and stars are. And you have the heaven where the birds fly. So when the Bible speaks, that's why you find in some places it talk about the heavens. When the Bible speaks of heaven, in the Bible there are three heavens. The one where the birds fly and live, where the moon and stars are, and where God is. So we must be careful that we don't read in the text that God will have nowhere to live when the Bible says the heaven will be removed. Read the Bible, brother, again. What did I say?
Heaven and earth.
Jesus Christ speaking. Heaven and earth
shall pass away.
Shall pass away.
But my words shall not pass away.
Are we all there? Do you notice what I notice? Because in this passage, Jesus Christ is speaking about the everlasting permanency of his word. The Bible, Christ's truth, heaven, earth will pass, but not his word. A time will come when everything material will cease to exist. Everything material. But Christ's word will ever stand steadfast. Listen, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6 through verse 8.
The voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry?"
It's a commission. Where heaven is sending one of its servants out. Go preach, go tell it. And the prophet or the messenger sent asks, "What shall I go and preach?" Read, brother.
All flesh is grass.
Go and preach that all flesh is what?
Grass.
Grass.
And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field.
All the beautiful things we see here, they are like the flowers of the plant. Read on.
The grass withereth.
The grass withereth.
The flower fadeth.
The flower in its beauty fades.
Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it.
Uh-huh.
Surely the people is grass.
Mm-hmm.
The grass withereth.
Uh-huh.
The flower fadeth.
Uh-huh.
But the word of our God shall stand forever.
Somebody didn't hear that. We are speaking about the indestructibility of the word of God. All the vast and beautiful creation, brothers and sisters. Is it the earth? Is it other planet, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and the comets? Is it the stars? Or is it the skyscrapers? Or is it the wonders of the world? They will all disappear one day. But Christ's word will live forever. In the passage of Luke 21, where the brother is, Christ gives the assurance that his words have in them a vitality, a permanence, and an endurance which the mightiest work of nature do not possess. I need to repeat that. When Jesus Christ said that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass, Jesus Christ is saying that his words have in them the type of vitality, the type of permanence, the type of endurance which the mightiest work of nature do not possess. Nothing in nature or in man's unbelief or disobedience will ever prove Jesus Christ and his word wrong. Brother Mitchell, that slipped me. I just said nothing in nature, nothing in man's unbelief, nothing in man's disobedience and defiance will ever prove Christ and his word wrong. And this is why I like 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 13.
For this cause. Also thank we God without ceasing.
We also give thanks to God without ceasing. Why, Paul?
When we receive the word of God.
Because when you receive the word of God,
which ye heard of us,
which we taught you,
ye received it not as the word
you
of men.
You did not. You know, we must learn in life to prioritize. That is, in life we must learn to put important things where they belong and put less important things where they belong. In fact, may I? In your economic life, that's one of the problems we have. May I? In our health, that's one of the problems we have. There are some unhealthy things that we eat too much of it. Are we all there? And there are some healthy things we do not eat as much as we ought to. That's a fact. A person will get a money and he will run and use it whereby in less, he get $1 million and in less than 2 months he cannot account for a cent of it. Another person get that $1 million and for the next 100 years it is still serving him or her. Part of the problem, part of that is prioritizing. Well, that's what the writer Paul is speaking about in the book of 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 2, 13, where we are. That when you receive what, brother?
The word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men.
You see, it's two things. You have the word of men, and you have the word of God. We must not mix them up. The word of God is in a category all of itself. It is eternal. It is permanent. And it will forever prove true. No man or woman will ever prove Jesus Christ and his word wrong. Christ and his truth are immortal. That's what we mean when we talk about the fact that God's word endures forever. It is everlasting. It is immortal. And it is forever relevant. Christ has shown himself to be the true prophet. Everything that Jesus Christ has said in his word, they have come to pass according to Christ's word. No man throughout history since Christ came to this earth inspired his apostle to write the New Testament. No man has proven the Bible wrong. No scholar. We have found Christ to be the divine teacher. We're wrapping up. I repeat, we have found Christ to be the divine teacher. In the deathless words of Christ, they are still treasure for us. I refer to Christ's word as deathless. Christ's word does not die. And in his deathless word, they are still treasure for us. In Christ's word, there is salvation from our sin. There in Christ's word, there is comfort in our sorrow. In Christ's word, there is sanctity in our joy. In Christ's word, there is strength in our struggle. In Christ's word, there is companionship in our loneliness. In Christ's word, there is peace and hope in our decline and in our death. One man rightly said, and I like this. He said, in hours of health and success, men may love the majestic pages of Plato and the meditation of Marcus Aurelius, or the rhythmic beauty of Ruskin. But in the last hour, what this writer referred to as the last hour is when we are dying. Watch here now. Remember what he said before. In our hours of health and success, men may love the majestic pages of Plato and the meditation of Marcus Aurelius, he was one of the Roman emperors, or the rhythmic beauty of Ruskin. Ruskin is a semi-modern writer. But he said, in the last hours, scholars and statesmen alike proclaim, read me the words of Jesus Christ. They alone breathe the language of eternity. Even men and women who do not show respect and regard for Christ and his word when they are in good health and prosperity, when they are on the dying or sick bed, it is the word of Jesus Christ they want to hear. Because they said, the word of Jesus Christ alone breathe the language of eternity. God's word is eternal. The Bible is eternal. When we permit God's word to direct our lives, then we share in the eternity of God's word. Run me back to Luke chapter 21 and verse 33 and just a line, read 33 and a line of 34 also. Read, brother.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unaware.
You see, notice as we close, the warning in verse, or the lesson in verse 33, is that the word coming from Christ's mouth, his teaching, will not pass. So don't take his word lightly. Then verse 34 now is a warning. You see, when you take God's word lightly, you live careless lives. So verse 34 is saying, don't live careless lives. Lest that day will come upon you like a thief in the night. God's word proves itself right here and now, and it will forever prove itself right. His word is indestructible. His word is invincible. Isaiah 55:11, his words is indispensable. John 6:63, his word is inexhaustible. Romans 11:33. Are you here today? You're not a child of God? Are you here today, a child of God who is sleeping, growing unfaithful, taking are permitting worldly things and ungodly way of life to dampen your zeal? We are encouraging you not to permit that to happen. Jesus Christ and his word going to prove truthful both in time and eternity. No man or woman will ever be confounded when you follow faithfully the word of God. If you're here today, if you're not a Christian, we are here to help you. You can step forward, and if you need further instruction, if you need to ask questions, if you need things clarified, come. We are here to help. If you're a child of God who is sleeping, you can come today and recommit your life to Jesus Christ as we stand. 578.